All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm your host, Devin Davidson. With me, as always, my co-host, Bruce Gunther. Bruce, how are things?
Hey, good. Good evening, everybody.
What a crazy week, eh? Past 7 days or so.
Yeah.
A couple things happened.
One or two.
So today, yeah, we're going to get over, we're going to go through some of the hockey news from the past week or so. And then we're going to follow that up with our fantasy award picks for the year. And then we're going to talk about the NHL's bracket challenge. So I guess we're going to start with the big news here today, right? Connor McDavid reached the 100-point mark in 53 games. He had a four-point night against Vancouver on Saturday, one goal and three assists. He is now on pace, I guess, excluding tonight's points. He had another 2 points tonight, but he's on pace for 155 points in an 82-game season. Bruce, what else can you say about Connor McDavid?
I don't think there's enough adjectives anymore to describe what he can do on the ice. It's just incredible. Like, yeah, just when you think you've seen everything he can do, he just comes out and it's something new.
He keeps getting better, right? That's the thing. Like, he's been good. He's been phenomenal his entire career, but he seems to just get better and better and better. And, you know, you keep expecting he's going to plateau, but he hasn't done it yet.
No, he's growing and growing, right? Like, it's like, you wonder, like, so yeah, it's shortened season. So he has 100 points in 53 games. So you go a full season, like, yikes. Like,
And that'll be the test next season, right? Because he's going to have to do it in a full 82-game season. Like, what's he going to do? Yeah. And can he maintain that pace? And, you know, there's injuries and it's, you're playing different teams. I understand that. Like, a lot of guys have been saying that the North Division isn't as strong. But there's other divisions that, you know, are on par or even weaker in some aspects, right?
Yeah. I lost the page here, but someone posted the teams he would have played in the West.
Yeah.
And I saw that one too. Like, if they think that the North Division was weak, if you take a look at if he would have played out in the West Division, I think his point total could even be higher.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. You look at some of the teams like Detroit, the Kings, Anaheim, like San Jose, it's like,
I think that argument falls apart pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
That the North Division's weaker. And even because what's the weakest team in the North right now? The Ottawa Senators, right?
Yeah.
But who's on like a 6 or 7-game winning streak?
Ottawa.
The Ottawa Senators, right? So, yeah, I just find that interesting. So Connor, in his last 14 games, he's got 10 goals, 36 points. He's averaging over 22 minutes per game. He's got 3.5 minutes on the power play, 50 shots on goal, and a 20% shot rate. So pretty good numbers there. And he's just become one of 9 players in NHL history to record 100 points in 56 games or fewer. The last guy to do it was Mario Lemieux in the 1995-96 season.
Yeah. So, there's what else you can say about Connor. It's just
history, right? It's just history being made. Yeah.
It's just history.
It was fun to watch on Saturday night. That was pretty special.
Well, you get sure to, at some point, I think his teammates were happier than he was. He tends to not dwell on the personal goals, but you could tell that everyone, that 100 points was done. It was, that whole team just erupted for him. So it's,
they for sure were just as happy as he was, if not more. And it was funny. You could see it building. Hey, like, he scored really early on Saturday night, and then, you know, then he got his second point. I think it was a pass to Puljujärvi.
Yeah.
And once that happened, it was like, okay, no, for sure. He's going to do it tonight, right?
It's going to happen tonight. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when, right?
That was pretty cool. All right. Well, in related news, I guess Leon Draisaitl had his 500th career point on Saturday as well. And he, as we all know, leads all Germans in NHL points, but I think he's been not equally as impressive, but he's been very, very good this year too. Better than last year, I would say, even. And he won the Hart Trophy last year.
it almost is like Connor took losing the trophy to Drysdale last year personally, and like this year it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
like totally. Two did this 500 points came on the same play as Connor's 100th point, right?
What? Oh, was it?
I think it was the same play.
Okay.
Same goal. So the question is, who gets the puck? Do they share it? Do they flip a coin?
Oh, that's. I think Leona would defer pretty quick there, but.
Yeah, or they'll just quickly grab another puck or something like that.
They can make that work, I think.
But they'll figure it out, right? It's
either way, pretty special moment for the team, and they look like they're poised to do something this year. So I'm excited for the playoffs to get started.
Yeah, they're looking good. They're on.
Yeah,
rounding into form nicely here at the end of the season.
All right, so no shortage of news this week. So we'll just kind of keep moseying along here. But Marc-Andre Fleury, congrats to him. He had his 490th career win. He now sits third all time in the NHL for goalies. He's got a .926 save percentage, a .207 goals against average, and 5 shutouts this season. So it's kind of been a bit of a resurgence for him this year, hey?
Absolutely, because it kind of looked at the end of last year that when they signed Robin Leonard, it's going to be like, well, is Fleury done in Vegas, right? And then Leonard was, he had off-season surgery, but he was ready for training camp, right? And then Leonard struggled early and Fleury grabbed a hold of the net and basically hasn't let it go all season.
They've both been really good, right? That's probably been the best tandem in the league this year, I would say.
They'd be first. There's probably two or three tandems up there, but they're definitely the first one.
Yeah. In his career, Marc-Andre Fleury has a .915 save percentage, a .245 goals against average, and 55 shutouts, 3 Stanley Cups, 2 appearances, 2 other appearances in the finals, 2010 Olympic gold medal, and 2 World Junior silver medals. So quite the career for Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's not done yet.
No, he's going to be around for a couple more years for sure. At the way he's playing here, what can you say, right?
Well, it might be a situation like similar to Mike Smith, right? Where as he gets up into his later 30s and early 40s, they might just give him an annual 1-year deal and say, hey, do you want to come back next year? Are you fit? Do you want to play?
Yeah.
And he'll keep going for as long as he can.
Yeah, because he's still playing at all a super high level. Granted, he's playing on a very good defense, playing with a very good defensive team too, but
yeah,
can't take anything away from his ability. Some of those saves he's been making this year look like an absolutely like a young Marc-Andre Fleury too. So
absolutely he does. What do you think? He's in my mind, he's going to make the Hall of Fame. First ballot pretty much, right? Is there any argument there?
There is no doubt he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt. The resume is way too good for him not to be.
Yep. Agreed. Next on the list here, we got David Backes. He played his last game in St. Louis on Wednesday night as he plans to retire at the end of the season. I don't know that I would say he had 561 points in 965 games and 1,148 PIMs. So, I mean, not earth-shattering numbers, but he was a guy that at his peak was a valuable fantasy asset, right? Like he was a guy that covered penalty minutes, he covered hits, he covered blocks, and he'd chip in with points. He was kind of a 50 or a 60 point guy. So, pretty special moment for him. It looked like he was pretty emotional in his send off there in St. Louis.
Yeah, he had a nice messenger from his wife and his kids.
So it's always nice when guys can kind of go out like that, right? On a high note.
Yeah. He can leave on his own terms, right? And that's some players don't get that luxury. So
no,
good on him for that.
Going down the list, Anze Kopitar reached 1,000 points in his career on Wednesday night, this last past Wednesday, against the Arizona Coyotes. And that's another guy, like, I think he's won the Selke twice. He's won 2 Stanley Cups. You know, he's not at the end of his career, but he's probably another guy, like, I would say, he's going to the Hall of Fame, whether or not it's first ballot, but he's definitely
going. I still think, even though he's been in How long has he been in the NHL for now? 1,000 career points. So he's been a number of seasons, right? I still think he's underrated by everybody because he plays out west.
Yeah.
He'd get a lot more press if he was playing in the east because he's an incredible player.
Oh, I would agree with that one for sure. He's done a lot of good things in Los Angeles.
You bet.
Going down here again, we've got Phil Kessel. So he had his 900th career point on Friday night against the San Jose Sharks. It was a pretty nice goal, actually. It was a breakaway goal, and it put the Coyotes up 3-2. He's a guy, he's a bit of an enigma to me. Like he looks like he's not your typical hockey player, right? You look at him and you never think he's as fast or as skilled as he is, but he's actually, he's an impressive player.
Very impressive player. He can put the puck in the net and it's absolutely amazing. Like time long.
Yeah.
Drafted by Boston, right? Then he went to Toronto. He did well in Toronto, even though they roasted him like crazy in Toronto.
Well, that's a tough market to play in for anybody, right?
Yeah. And granted, Phil's not your prototypical athlete either, right? So they were on him for that, right? And then just happens to slide over to Pittsburgh to win a couple of Stanley Cups on his way through. And it's, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Exactly. No, he's had a good career, right? Like for all the
very good
career. All the things people say, he's done well for himself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, talent. He can score goals. That's his talent. He can score goals, and he does it very, very well.
Yep. You know, kind of one of the more, I guess, more down stories this year, but also kind of a cool story. TJ Oshie this week. Tough week for him as his father passed. Coach Osh, as they call him, I guess, passed away at the age of 56. You know, he basically took one night off, came back and played, and he had a hat trick in that game against the New York Rangers that turned into be it was a bit of a circus, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get to that game here shortly, but you know, kind of a neat moment, and it was really, I put this in the show notes. It'll be up later, but just how his team, like just to see their reaction to him scoring that hat trick, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously a very emotional thing for him, but it was kind of cool to see that he came back right away and did that.
Yeah. I'm always amazed by players that can go through a loss like that and come back and absolutely have an incredible game. It's just absolutely amazed how they can do that. The mental strength they have to be able to do that.
And the focus, like
because
it looks like him and his dad were pretty close, right? If you watch interviews and stuff, it, especially when he won the cup, he was, you know, that was for his dad basically. And that was tough to see.
Yeah.
I guess we'll jump into the Tom Wilson stuff here quick. It's kind of been beaten to death. I was not thrilled by the whole situation, just the whole confluence of events and, you know, NHL player safety. I think they're just a mess right now. I know there's a lot of differing opinions on this, but you know, for anyone that didn't see what happened, Tom Wilson got himself into trouble here again against the New York Rangers. He punched Buchnevich in the back of the head. He you know, ragdolled Artemi Panarin. And now Panarin, he's missed the last few games of their season. You know, a lot of people watched that and said, okay, repeat offender. He was suspended for 7 games earlier this season. Typically guys with a history like that, they face at least a 1-game suspension, right? I was really surprised he was only given a $5,000 fine. And for a guy that makes as much money as he does, that's pennies, right? Like that's beer money. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I think what happened the following game could have been avoided had they just given him even a 1-game suspension. The fact they just fined him, they were kind of asking for trouble. But what do you
think? Yeah, it's tough. I've watched the clip a couple of times and reading all the different things that everyone is saying. It's like, and it basically boiled down to, I think it's Elliot Friedman put it. They took the numbers and the letters off the players, and it's like, okay, is this a suspendable offense? And it's like, well, this is two third liners and one of the third liners get hurt. it doesn't even make show notes in any in anybody's broadcast, right? It just happens to be Wilson, who's got a history, and the Rangers' best player, right? So it's so if you entertain him with two other players, it's not even news. Like, it's just another hockey. It's just another thing that happens in a game, right? So unfortunately, the player safety guys aren't they aren't going to be the most popular one after this. And yeah, they probably could have if they would have given him a game. But then, too, giving him a game, then you set a precedent, right? So if they give Wilson a game for that, and then down the road something happens to two third liners or something like that, well, the precedent's set, right? Then you got to start suspending other players for that. So they.
Oh, I get it. There's a lot of different aspects and moving parts to this, right? They gotta kind of take a long term view on it. But I guess what's frustrating for a lot of people is the lack of consistency, right? Like, people have gotten. I kind of go back. You know, I talked with this and McDavid. You know, for his chicken wing, he got a $5,000 fine, right? And then Nathan MacKinnon got a $5,000 fine for floating a helmet at somebody. Right? Like, it was. So I just thought, you know, for the action, I thought, okay, at least a one game. But the other point I was going to make, they have no problem managing the game, right? So they'll tell the refs, they have meetings and conferences, and they kind of say, okay, we got to manage the game. And if things get out of hand, like, take some guys off the ice. And here's an opportunity to manage the game by just removing Wilson for a short period of time. And I understand what you're saying about setting a precedent, but I don't know. It's just nobody knows what is what anymore, and it's just frustrating to watch.
Well, and after listening and doing some more reading, I'm not entirely sure a one-game suspension would have fixed that. There was some, if you go through some of the different notes from the different media, and that the Rangers almost took it personally, like they were too soft of a team. So I think even if Wilson would have been suspended for that game, I don't think it would have happened. It may not have happened in that particular game.
Yeah, but I think they would have made a point.
They would have made a point that, hey, we're not soft like we're being made out to be, right? So
yeah,
well, I think it may have happened anyway.
So then things got even stranger, right? So the New York Rangers weren't very happy with the $5,000 fine, and they put out their statement basically calling for George Parros's head. And and then shortly after, John Davidson and Jeff Gordon were both like, oh, right, you're president of hockey operations and your general manager. And Chris Drury took over as president of hockey operations and GM. So it just got stranger and stranger. They got fined $250,000 for their statement. And then on that Wednesday game, the play by Buchnevich to cross-check Anthony Mantha in the face. Right? So then he gets a one-game suspension.
It's just weird.
What a strange turn of events that was, and it all started with Tom Wilson. Anyway, I don't want to waste any more time or energy on Tom Wilson because I've kind of had enough of that guy. But from a fantasy perspective, I love Tom Wilson. Right, he's a guy that those PIMs are valuable if you're in a head-to-head categories league.
Yeah, absolutely, they are. They sure are.
And at the end of the day, he is a skilled player. Like he can skate, he can play, and he puts up points. So
there's a reason why he plays on the first line with Ovechkin. It's because he can play there.
Yeah. So again, going back to, we are a fantasy hockey show. He's a guy I wouldn't hesitate to draft at any point if he's there, right? But
no,
man, exactly. Oh man, is he frustrating.
He covers all the categories, literally all the categories. So
yep. So anyway, moving on. Some better news. Tyler Seguin made his return against the Florida Panthers on Monday night. And in three games since his return, he's got two goals in two games played. That's kind of excluding tonight's game, I believe. Five shots and goal.
He didn't play tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Once they were eliminated, he's not playing anymore.
That is correct. Yep. Thank you. Kind of unfortunate, right? He if you were like me, I drafted him last fall thinking he'd be back sooner, and he wasn't back. You know, until just recently, and then once they're out, he just sat. So, makes you wonder, like, how healthy was he actually?
Well, if he wasn't 100%, he looked pretty good for whatever percent he was at. So,
he'll
have some time to rest now for next season and look out. That team will be trouble next year.
Yep,
they'll have Bishop back, and they just had a lot. That team had a lot of screwy things happen to it this year, and between injuries and snow and COVID,
and we just found out Rupe Hintz had a groin injury.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I think he's getting surgery. Like we talked about this before, right? It was kind of a joke. He was in and out of the lineup.
He was daily. A game time decision every game. It was.
Yeah. And even in game, right? He'd leave.
Yeah.
He'd leave for half a period, come back, he'd play. Like,
mm-hmm.
But
tough kid.
Hell of a player. Some more injury news. Evgeny Malkin made his return. 23 game absence. For anyone that plays fantasy hockey, they're no stranger to Gino's injury troubles, right? I reluctantly took him where I did. I can't remember where I took him, but it was good enough value that I took a swing. And of course, he was terrible for about a quarter of the season. Then he missed 50% of the games, and then he came back, and then he was done. So, too bad. Yeah. He's kind of one of those feast or famine type players, right? I mean, he had four assists in the three games he did play, and he actually had 15 points in 11 games in his last 11 games played. So when he's healthy and when he's playing, he's one of the best out there, but he comes with a lot of risk.
Yeah. I still wouldn't have any trouble drafting him.
No, I mean, as long as it's not too high, right? I'm not going to spend a first or a second round pick on him, but if I can get him in the third, fourth, fifth round, I'm okay doing that because I know the points are going to be there, right?
You bet.
I guess on that topic too, he's been finding some success with Zucker and Kasperi Kapanen, right? Kapanen came back from injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both back from injury.
And how about those Penguins winning the division?
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, you would have never thought that was going to happen.
No, not a chance.
Guess it's just a matter of just changing out your general manager and your president of hockey operations, and
it's the Berkey effect.
Yeah, well, they said play. You're going to get this year to play, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year. And they've made a very good case.
Yeah,
they played really well since that change. Very well. Got the goaltending. Yeah, they got good goaltending, and they got scoring from everywhere. Crosby doesn't have to do it all himself. So it's...
Yeah. No, they're going to be dangerous, right? I think they're going to make some noise again here in the playoffs.
I think so, too.
And a healthy Letang, right? That's another thing. Like,
yeah.
If Letang's healthy, he's one of the best defensemen in the league. Offensively, he's not exactly a defensive stalwart, but
yeah.
All right, moving on to our next thing here. We got Team Canada winning the under-18 gold medal. So congratulations to them.
Yes.
Connor Bedard.
Bedard.
What a player, hey? Like, the kid's 15 years old. He tore up the WHL this year. He had 12 points in 6 games of this tournament, just 2 shy of McDavid's record of 14. He had 28 points in 15 games for the Regina Pats this year, and he is the first ever player to be granted exceptional status to play in the WHL at 15, not draft eligible until 2023. So, you know, he's so young, but he's a player to definitely keep an eye on, especially in dynasty leagues. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really curious to see what he can do in a couple years here, because he looks really good right now. Like, what do you think?
So he's playing for Regina. He scored an unreal goal at the under 18. So does that automatically mean he goes to the Oilers?
Will
happen.
Is that a Jordan Eberle reference?
Possibly. Or how crazy that the Oilers managed to win the draft lottery and get Connor McDavid. So you never know.
Well, I would take another Connor.
Absolutely.
Our buddy John would be just thrilled. He hasn't stopped talking about Connor Bedard for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So that would be interesting.
it would be. Yeah. Well, and he's got 2 more years to go, right? So it's.
Yeah. So on the show page, I put, there's some things here from Twitter. I put something on here for like his one goal he scored on the backhand. Pretty impressive.
That was a wicked backhand.
Yep. Nice shot, top corner. So
mm-hmm.
Anyway, check it out. When you have a second. And the last little bit of news here, we've got John Tortorella and Rick Tocchet were both let go from their team. So John Tortorella from the Columbus Blue Jackets and Rick Tocchet from the Arizona Coyotes. I think we all sort of saw the Tortorella one. The writing was on the wall there, I think.
Probably wishing he would have left at the end of last year as opposed to the end of this year. This year is rather forgettable for Columbus and stuff like in that.
Oh, for a lot of guys on that team, like Patrick Laine, it was just a train wreck.
Yeah.
And Max Domi. Like, Max Domi's a guy, like, what? I don't know what's going on with that with him, but not great.
Yeah, no, they didn't have a good year. And then that whole thing with Dubois, right? And the trade for Laine, and then they were gonna have a tough year irregardless of all that. So
yeah. They can still beat Tampa though whenever they feel like it. So they got that.
It's just incredible how they can do that.
It's funny how some teams just have other teams' numbers, right?
I was listening tonight, so they say Tortorella's best moment in Columbus is that first period intermission, whatever he said to the boys in that first playoff game.
Yep.
They came right after that, and they absolutely trounced Tampa after that.
They sure did. But Tampa needed that, apparently, because they came back the next year and won the cup.
Returned the favor. Well, it wasn't exactly thanks, a Columbus. Trouncing, so, yeah.
And then Rick Tocchet, I don't really know the story there. I mean, another not great season from the Coyotes. They were right in the thick of it, right? I mean, they almost squeaked in, but really they wouldn't have done anything anyway. You know, had they gotten into the playoffs, they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this isn't because ownership changed, GM changed. It's just trying another tough direction again. They don't really have a ton of talent on the team.
Or draft picks.
They got Kessel, right? So he's good, but he's getting up there in age. Connor Garland is coming good forward, right? They've got a couple of great goalies, but they're never healthy. They usually play four goalies a season because Ranta and Kemper can't stay healthy.
So
if those two could stay healthy, they'd be the best tandem in the league by far, but they just can't stay healthy.
Well, so let's talk about that for a minute. Like, are those guys you're going to potentially target, or would you even consider drafting next season?
It would be very, very late round if I did, just because of health issues.
Well, even team performance issues, right? I mean, if all goes perfectly well, I mean, that team could be a bubble team.
Yeah.
But I guess peripherals are good.
Yeah, they won't, based on their current lineup, they wouldn't be a top team, but they're definitely a bubble team.
Yeah, a guy like Darcy Kemper might not get a lot of wins for you, but his save percentage goals against are going to look pretty good. Yeah.
There's no easy nights against that team, but they don't win many of them either, so.
No, not at all. All right, I guess with that, Bruce, we're going to move on to Fantasy Hockey Awards, unless you have any other hockey-related news you want to get off your chest.
No, that was good.
All right. So we're going to kick this off with our MVP category. I guess the way we're going to do this is if there's a consensus pick, we're just going to go and we're going to talk about the consensus pick and some honorable mentions. If there is a case where Bruce and I differ, we'll kind of let you guys know who's picking who and what our thoughts are on those players. So kicking things off, our MVP for the fantasy hockey season, or 2020-2021 season, is no surprise here. Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah, there's no surprise. Took a quick glance at our ESPN point totals. He is 60 points ahead of the next player in total points in our ESPN league. Yeah. And Leon's the next one in line. But there's 60 points between him and Leon.
It's not even a contest. It's not even a discussion or debate.
It's just Connor.
If you had the good fortune to be able to draft him first overall, if you didn't win your league, you were darn close, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, for me, honorable mentions, Leon Draisaitl, like you said, he kind of was maybe a distant second, but he was still second in ESPN total points. How many points? He had 79 points. Is that where he's at right now?
Yes, 79. Yeah.
So, I mean, Draisaitl, like I said earlier, has had a good season to date. And he'll go again in the top two, three, or four next season, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would say, depending on how where they rate Nathan McKinnon, he's probably, and maybe Austin Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other honorable mention I had here, right, for the first for the MVP category, because 40 goals and 49 games played. He's had a really good season.
Yes.
And I think under any other circumstances where Connor wasn't playing, or, you know, Leon had an injury or something like that, like, you'd be talking a lot more about Austin Matthews as the MVP, right? But
yeah. Yeah. Connor kind of said, it's mine, and he wasn't giving it up.
No, he's been just so much fun to watch this year. Anything else there, Bruce, on the MVP category?
I don't know if there's much more you can say about Connor. We said that earlier. It's like we've run out of adjectives to describe him. It's just incredible. Like,
all right. Well, with that, then we'll go on to best center. Again, for us, consensus pick, it's Connor McDavid here, but we're going to maybe talk a little bit more about some of the other honorable mentions we had. So, Bruce, maybe you want to talk about your guys. You had, I guess, one other one besides Draisaitl.
Yeah, so I had Nathan McKinnon in my draft this year, and he he was injured for part of the season. He's missed about almost 10 games of the season, so, and I think he would be higher up higher up in points if he would have been able to play a whole season.
Yeah, I mean, he's always up there, right? He's going to be in the top two or three. But he always seems to miss a handful of games, right? Like, that seems to be the last couple of years. I don't know if that's just a product of him playing with speed, or because of the number of minutes he plays, or what, but he always misses a few. It's not always severe, but it's always a couple for sure.
And they're not, I don't think they're big nagging issues, because, like, he's back tonight, but he was out a couple games here previously. They just seem to be little things, just enough to keep him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Or two, it just could be a matter of just not wanting, it could be just something simple and them not wanting to rush them back. Colorado's been in a pretty solid position in the standings. So, and they do play well without him too. So it could just be a matter of them just not taking any chances.
Yeah, I was going to say it could be a precautionary, and they do have enough depth in their lineup that they don't have to rush him back. Like, they've got other guys that can score goals and, you know, so it's all good if he sits for a while. I guess, like, I had Draisaitl as an honorable mention for center. He does lead the league in plus minus and power play goals. And he's, like we said, second in the NHL with 79 points. So, I mean, for me, Connor's on another level, but if it wasn't him, for me, it's Leon.
Yeah, those two are going to be tied at the hip for as long as they're both Oilers. I think that's going to be a mainstay at the top of the standings. And maybe the only two people that could try and split that pair up, one would be McKinnon and the other one would be Matthews. They're going to be at the top of the stat sheets for quite a long time.
And I'm okay with that.
Likewise.
All right, so let's get on to left winger here. This is the first category where you and I had different guys written down, I believe, or did we fix that?
We fixed that.
Yes, we did. All right, so consensus pick, Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins. Third in points with 67. He had 28 goals in 52 games. He's a guy that has good category coverage, right? He had used a plus 25 this year, 46 PIMs. He had four shorthanded goals in the season and one hat trick. So just, he's a stud, right? Like, the guy, a lot of people hate him, right? He's a rat.
Yeah.
But, well, he's talented.
Yeah, like, at the beginning of his career, that's basically what he was. basically what he was pegged as, right? And then he spent a couple of summers with Sidney Crosby, and all of a sudden, holy cow, here he comes, right? And he hasn't let up since. You still see a little bit of the early Brad Marchand every now and then, but
every once in a while, yep.
Every once in a while, it comes back, but holy
like
cow!
Somebody's like nose that. Or whatever.
Yeah, nose or ear? Is it ear? No, that was Holyfield.
He just picks a body part. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But yeah. No, really good player. I mean, especially in terms of fantasy, he covers categories, right?
Yeah,
he plays in Bangers League. If your league covers hits, like. Or PIMS too.
Yeah.
He covers all those things. He puts up goals. He puts up assists. Gets all the power play time. Plays on a great line, right? Like, I mean, that's one of the best lines in hockey.
Yeah. Well, and four shorthanded goals, so he's on the penalty kill too. So he's everywhere, literally everywhere.
Yeah. High event player. So I think I took him 12th overall this year in our draft. And I think his ADP was somewhere around there. So, I mean, he's going to be a first-round player, or you're going to take him kind of at the turn. But in my he outperforms his ADP, right, every year. Like, he's he performs as a top five or a top eight player, but he doesn't always go there, which is surprising.
It's getting a little crowded up there.
There's so much talent in the league right now, right?
Yeah, it's like if you're in a 10 or a 12-team league, even if you're picking 12th, there's still some great talent sitting there in the first round after.
Well,
these guys,
and for that reason, I don't mind if I'm drafting. I don't mind if I get the last pick in the draft and going, you know, 10, 11, or 12, 13, because you can get two really good players at the turn in the first and second round.
Yeah, there's no harm in picking late in the draft. There's, like you said, there's lots of talent there.
I mean. I'd love to have the first overall pick every year, but.
well, just in way. 1 year to get Connor and then change it to a keeper league so you don't have to give up.
If only it worked that way, Bruce. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Honorable mentions. Let's talk about those a little bit here. So I think we both had Jonathan Huberdeau, right?
Yeah.
Maybe talk about him a little bit. Like, I think he was kind of the first. You were the one to bring him up initially, I think.
Yeah, so the big thing is he was this year he was separated from Barkov, so he was on his own line. Barkov was on another line, so there was lots of questions on whether he would be able to produce outside of playing with Barkov, basically. And he silenced everybody pretty fast, so he had no trouble on his own line. Excuse me, driving with his own line. So it's
And towards the end of the season here too, having Bennett and Duclair on his, like, they weren't tonight. I think Duclair's playing with Barkov tonight because Bennett's out now. But, you know, having that line together, they've looked really good, and Huberdeau's really produced.
Yeah. No, he sure has.
So, I think he was up there too in points. I don't recall exactly, but he was close to Marchand in total points.
One second here. He was, wrong category. Oh, of course, it's not going to work for me while I'm trying to do this.
I've got 20 goals, 41 assists, and
61 points
played. Yeah.
So he was 1, 2, 3. He's ninth in scoring right now.
Yeah. So he's had a great season. 41 power play points, too. Sorry, 24 power play points.
Say, holy cow, that's awesome. No,
41 assists, 24 power play points, and he's had a hat trick this year too. So, like, that's just extra money in the bank, right? He's he's a great player to have on your team for sure.
Well, and great for Florida too, right? Because you put Barkov on one line, you put Huberdeau on the second line. They've got some good talent to surround both of them. It's makes that team a lot more dangerous, right? And they've had a good year, so.
I'm actually really excited to see how Florida does against Tampa in that first round series.
They made a mess of Tampa tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I really do think it's going to be Florida coming out of that series.
I could very well be, right?
Like, especially if you consider Stamkos and Kucherov have been injured. They've been out for long term.
Yeah.
And Vasilevsky is kind of going through a bit of a rut right now.
Yes. Yeah, he hasn't won his last two games, last three games.
It's been a few, yeah. Like he sat a couple and then he's lost a few. And but I mean, everyone goes through stretches, right, where they don't play well, but it's just not good timing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, the next one that we wanted to talk about was Brady Tkachuk, right?
Yeah, he had a good season too, considering playing in Ottawa, right? So
yep.
That team is incredibly young, right? But that's line
potential there though.
Tkachuk, Norris and Batherson, I think.
Yep.
They were together for pretty much the entire year, and well, as everyone expected, they struggled out of the gate, but they're clicking now. We figured by the end of the year they could wreck some havoc, and they are doing exactly that. They are wrecking havoc.
They've looked good. You know, if you're on the quick on the draw and picked up a guy like Josh Norris, he's paid off for sure down the stretch here. Brady Tkachuk though, he has insane category coverage. Like I checked today, he's got 214 shots on goal, 242 hits, 23 blocks, and 65 PIMs.
Yeah.
And that's in a shortened season. Like you kind of project those numbers out over an 82 game season, like he's well over 300 shots on goal, well over 300 hits. Like his PIMs, he might be at 120 PIMs. You know what I mean? Like and that's just his peripherals. I mean, as he gets better and matures and he starts, cause he had a 17 goal season, right? If I recall correctly.
I think so.
So he's a guy like I'm really curious to know how high he's going to go in drafts next year.
He's going to go higher than his brother.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think that's a hot take at all. Just based on how bad Calgary's been. And if you look at the peripherals, like I think Brady at this point right now just brings more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the talent that he's played with, nothing against Goudreau and Monahan and Lindholm in Calgary, but these young guys are coming up together. They're playing all the time together. It's Ottawa is going to be dangerous. If maybe not next year, they might be a bubble team next year. But the year after that, look out. Like,
yeah, if they can be consistent and stay healthy,
yeah,
they're gonna make some noise.
Yeah.
This year, Tkachuk was drafted 81st overall in our ESPN league. I don't know what his ADP was, but you know he's not going super early. I would expect next year he's probably somewhere in 5 through 7.
Probably.
I mean, I'd be really curious to see where he goes, but he's a guy I'd love to get my hands on, especially since all of our leagues are our hits leagues. So
it'll be someone that'll stretch for him.
It always is, right? I try to get both Tkachuks this year. I got the wrong one though, unfortunately. Somebody snagged Brady before I can get him. But
they're a player that you hate to play against, but you love to have on your team.
Yep, 100%. All right, so that's enough for the left winger. I think we've beaten that one to death.
Probably.
Next, we've got the right wing category. And again, a consensus pick, Mikko Rantanen of the Colorado Avalanche. He had the highest points per 60 total at the right wing position, 3.7 points per 60. He offers better category coverage than some of the other guys we were looking at. Our honorable mentions were Patrick Kane and Mitch Marner. So he had a bit better numbers that way. Better plus minus. He had more hits, more faceoff wins, more PIMs. So just better category coverage in general. He had a better zone start percentage, so more time in the offensive zone. And his Corsi and his Fenwick numbers both look good. So just all around, Rantanen has been a really, really good player this year, you know, despite a few injury troubles. But for me, and I think, you know, for you, obviously, as a consensus pick, he's been the best right-wing player this year.
Yeah, playing with McKinnon and Landeskog, it's a hell of a line.
You could make an argument that's the best line in hockey right now.
Yeah, I think so. Excuse me.
But yeah, no, he's been fun to watch, and I know at certain points, even there's some stretches where he was producing on a points per 60 basis, he was producing as high as McDavid. So, you know, I think we talked about it recently, but that's a guy like I might have to look at keeping him in our Yahoo keeper league. Depending on what we decide to do, if it's one or two picks or whatever, but I might just end up taking Rantanen because he's been that good, and I think he'll probably even get a little bit better.
And he's been consistently that good too, right? So the year he came in, was quiet for the first little bit, and then he picked it up at the end of the season. He's just been going ever since.
Do you want to talk about some of those honorable mentions we had? So Patrick Kane and Mitch Marner. I mean, what do you have to say about those two guys?
Patrick Kane is always in the conversation every year. It doesn't seem to matter what version of the Blackhawks are out there. Like right now, they're not going to make the playoffs this year, but he just finds a way, right?
Well, I'm a big fan of Patrick Kane. He's been on at least two of my teams that I've won championships with. And I believe one was that year where he went off. He had over 100 points. He might have had 110 points or whatever it was. But yeah, he's a high volume shooter, right? He's a guy, he'll put over 300 shots on goal in a season.
Yeah, and again, another one of those insane talents, right?
Yep.
He can make something out of nothing. As they said, he can stick handle his way out of a phone booth. Like, it's just...
Well, if he's not the best American-born player to ever play in the league, he's got to be top two or three, right? Like, I don't know if I can name a better American-born player right now.
I don't think I could either.
But listeners, prove us wrong if you have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And Mitch Marner, I mean, he's had another really good season playing with Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Well, now that he's actually playing on the same line as Matthews, it's been great for both of them.
Yep.
They're feeding off each other, very similar to how Connor and Leon do. And Mitch basically sets up Austin, and Austin hammers into the net, right?
And I heard somewhere, I think it was on Oilers Now, Matthews actually plays with Marner almost exclusively at even strength. Like they've played something like 90% of their ice time together.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was that high.
Yeah. So they like playing with each other. They're obviously both very, very talented players. They're producing. So why break them up?
It works.
They've got enough talent on that team that they can do that, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Tavares is your second line center. That's pretty impressive, right?
So leave it as it is.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting, I was telling you earlier, is Mitch Marner, he's got 20 goals this year. They're all at even strength.
Yeah. All the power play ones he's setting up Matthews. The power play points assists, right?
That's right. That's right. But I'm just surprised he didn't have one goal on the power play. I find that very odd.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there it is. Mikko Rantanen, best winger, best right winger. And we're going to move on to defenseman. And this one was tough, hey, Bruce?
Yeah, this was a tough one because so many of these players are so close together. It's like not one really had, when you look at all the various categories and stuff, not one player had a monopoly on all the categories. It was a mix and match between all of them.
Yeah, so I guess we'll, after some humming and hawing, like our consensus pick is Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, some of that's based on production, some of it's based on his lineup, right? Who he's playing with, the team he's on, usage, like he's getting a lot of ice time, both on the power play and even strength. Hard not to pick him, right, as a consensus pick, but... There's a lot of, like you said, really, really talented defensemen this year that had some guys have breakout years or just had, you know, consistent years that we would expect from them. And Bruce, maybe you want to talk about this guy, Cale Makar from the Avalanche.
Oh, Makar was going to be, well, when I was looking at my picks before we decided to go with Hedman, for me, it was Makar, Chychrun was the other one that we looked at, and Hedman, right? Makar has just been incredible this year. Like, had he not been hurt there for the amount of games he was out, he probably would have been my pick over Hedman. But
I would agree with that. It's like, just because of injury troubles, I think we both said, well, we're going to go with Hedman, right? But
yeah,
if you look at like fantasy points per game scored, I think Makar was the more effective player.
Yeah, and he's been the more effective, like offensive wise, and he's been solid defensively too, right? So he covers a few of the categories. Not, I think Hedman's a little better in the hits and block shots and that than Makar, but
yeah, like I had some numbers pulled up here for these other guys. Like, well, you said Chikrin. That's another guy we want to talk about because I think he's got 18 goals in the season, I think, which leads all defensemen.
I was surprised when I looked up top defensemen and looking, like, holy cow, like, yeah, like he has, I think it was 18 goals, 15 of them are even strength. It's,
yeah, he's had a great season.
Yeah.
Like he's the number one guy there now in Arizona.
Yep.
But good season. And actually his peripherals are good too. Like shots on goal, hits and blocks are all kind of within the top of these six or eight guys that we had kind of pegged as the top defenseman.
Yeah. And the big thing for Chikrin this year too is he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, had a healthy season, right?
The previous couple of seasons he's been derailed by injuries, and this year he didn't have that.
Yeah.
And he took some big steps this year.
It's amazing what being healthy can do.
Yeah.
The other guy I think we both want to talk about was Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, he's not getting enough love in all this stuff. He has had quietly one hell of a season, or heck of a season. Can we see that on?
I think you say whatever you want. We just have to mark it as includes profanity or not. But no, he's had an awesome season. You know, he was leading the league in goals by defenseman for a while there. He's just two back at Chikrin right now at 16. I think he leads in even strength goals though, because he's not getting any power play time because Tyson Barrie's been so good in Edmonton. But I believe Darnell is leading defenseman in plus minus at plus 29, and he's leading defenseman, the ones we had anyway on our list, at 57 PIMs. And I think really he covers, he does the best job of covering categories for shots, hits, blocks, PIMs, like just all around a really, really good season by Darnell. And in my opinion, he should be getting some Norris consideration.
I think so. Because is he not also the leader in terms of time on ice? Out of all these,
if he's not the leader, he's up there, right? Because he's had some games over 30 minutes. I'd have to check that. And we have the technology, Bruce.
I'm looking it up right now. So he is average time on ice, looks like.
He's fourth, isn't he?
Yeah, Doughty's slightly ahead of him. Doughty was at 26.29. Darnell's at 25.42. And then there's a few hovering right around the 25 mark.
Yeah, so he's up there. He's top five in ice time, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, just imagine a situation where he's actually getting some power play time. So add 2 minutes per game to that. And all of a sudden, he's leading defenseman in ice time. Because, like, a guy like Drew Doughty, he's going to be on the power play every night. He's going to get 2, 3, 4 minutes a night on the power play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, just a really good season by Darnell. It's nice for the Oilers to actually have someone who resembles a number one defenseman.
Concern, right? When Klefbom went down or for his surgery, right, was who was gonna step in and fill that spot, right? And like Nurse has done it so well now that even you look at the consideration for the Seattle draft, that there's a possibility that the Oilers may not even protect Klefbom because of the way Nurse has been playing.
Well, I'd say it's a good possibility because they got a lot of good young talent they have to protect too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Adam Larson, the seasons he's had, they're going to want to hold on to him.
I hope so.
I would, yeah. So
he'll be tough to replace.
He would be. We can save that for another show, though.
Yes, we can.
So, best goalie, our consensus pick was Vasilevskiy.
I don't even know if there was really an Well, he had Varlamov, Smith, and I'll let you pronounce that one. I don't want to butcher it that badly.
Oh, you're going to jinx me now, but Alex Nedeljkovic from the Carolina Hurricanes.
You did a much better job than what I would have done.
Well, I think I butchered it last week, so I had some practice, but... Yeah, no. For me, Vasilevskiy was the clear cut consensus pick for best goalie. He had 31 wins and 41 games played, 5 shutouts, a 2.17 goals against average, and a .926 save percentage. Realistically, the next closest guy was Semyon Varlamov from the New York Islanders. He actually had a .930 save percentage and 7 shutouts. So I mean, a good case could be made that he could have been that pick as well.
Yeah.
Because he's right there too, and his numbers look great. He plays in a very defensively minded system, right, with Barry Trotz.
Yes,
and that's nothing against Varlamov. I think we just both, if you're going into like Vasilevsky's had such a good season, and going into next year, I see no reason why you wouldn't take Vasilevskiy over Varlamov.
No, if I was picking, I would. Vasilevskiy would be my first choice, absolutely, but. I would also have no trouble picking Varlamov higher as well, based on the structure that they have there and on Long Island.
Yeah,
it just plays right. It seems to play right into his strengths.
It does for sure. He's had a good couple years in Long Island or Brooklyn, wherever they're playing now. But Barry Trotz has got it figured out, and goalies generally do well there, right? Like Thomas Greiss did well there.
All right, everyone buys into the system and sticks to the system, and they've had great success.
The results come. The other guy we wanted to talk about was Mike Smith, right? Maybe I'll let you dig into that one a bit.
Yeah, Smitty, it's from what I was reading, he is on pace now. He's close to what would have been statistically his best. This is his second best season as a goaltender for him, and his best season when he was three years into his career.
Okay.
So I think they said there's about 10 years difference between the two, where he's just been playing lights out, right? So he injured at the beginning of the season there, so they had to ride Koskinen for a bit, and then Smith came in, and he's been playing lights out ever since.
I read somewhere too that he's on pace to put up the best save percentage by an Edmonton Oilers goaltender in the history of the franchise.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
He's had a hell of a season. It's cool to see. I will be totally honest. I was one of those guys that when they signed Mike Smith initially in free agency, I was not impressed, right? It was oh man, he had looked terrible in Calgary. He was an old goaltender. I thought, why would you do this? And he's just proven everyone wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's the guy. If you talk to any Oilers, he wants to win. It's when he's not happy when they lose, no matter how it is, he's not happy when they lose. He wants to win.
Well, and I think he appears to me to be the glue that holds that room together. Like he's a competitive guy. Like you said, he wants to win. But it's almost like the players, he's almost like the dad in the dressing room, right? And I think he holds players accountable. And I think, because he is the old guy in there, but he plays well, right? He backs up, like if he's giving guys a hard time, he backs it up with his own play.
Yeah. And he practices hard too, right? So he doesn't, just because he's 39, I think he is now, it's not like he takes a practice off or whatever. He goes hard the whole time. And when you've got someone like Smith doing that, it's pretty hard if you're 21 or 22, and it's like, well, if he's doing that, I gotta be at least equivalent or better than that, right? So it elevates everybody.
Yeah. So again, it'll be interesting to see where a guy like that goes in the draft for next season. Again, I don't know where he went this year, but with the season he's had, you got to think he's going to be a little higher next year.
If he resigns,
I think he will. I would be shocked if the Oilers don't sign him to at least a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah, well, I would think they'd have to bring him back based on this. If another team doesn't try to poach him.
Well, and that could be the case, right? But I think they're going to try and circumvent the expansion draft somehow. right? Like they might not sign him until after the expansion draft.
Yeah.
And he might get offered some money from Seattle for from some other teams, but after he's had such a good year here, like why wouldn't you want to? And him and Tippett, right? They have such a good relationship, so
yeah,
it would surprise me if he signed anywhere else. But
yeah, I think he would re-sign at Edmonton. I'm pretty sure he will.
And just lastly, to touch on Nedeljkovic, among all goalies to play at least 20 games, he has a 932 save percentage, which is number one, and his 1.90 goals against average is also number one. So he's had a really, really good season himself playing in Carolina. NHL.com, their fantasy guys had him listed as kind of the third wheel for the Calder, which I think makes sense. Like you know, which is probably a good segue into our last category here, right? Which is the Calder, the rookie MVP, and our consensus pick is Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota. So really, it was that three-headed race, right? Kaprizov, Jason Robertson, and I guess Nedeljkovic would be the third leg of that race. But it was Kaprizov, right? I think, I'm backpedaling from my take a couple weeks ago. But watching Kaprizov these last couple weeks, he's really kind of stepped up, and he's had some overtime winners, and he's just looked really, really good.
He is the Minnesota Wild right now. It's that team is where it is because of him. If he doesn't play in Minnesota this year, I don't think that team makes the playoffs. He has brought energy and life to that team. It's like, where you look at someone like Robertson, he has filled in nicely for Sagan being out and all the injuries they go through. He had himself a nice statistical season, but I think overall, if you look at how they've both impacted their teams, whether Robertson had a good season or not, Dallas was expected to make the playoffs. Minnesota wasn't expected to go anywhere this year. They were just hoping that they wouldn't look embarrassed by the end of the season, right?
And look at them
now. You get Kaprizov in there, he lights the league on fire, and Talbot's been steady back there. When he was out, Kapokakin is.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Just slid right in and took over. But it's Kaprizov, right? There's a reason why his nickname is Dollar Bill Krill, right? He's money.
Really good.
He's looked good, and he's producing in big moments when they need a goal or they need something. He's there to do it. So I don't see him losing the Calder at all.
I would agree. It's his and
it's
Robertson will be a close second, and then Nedeljkovic is going to get some consideration too, just based on his peripherals being so good. So definitely keep an eye out for those guys in your drafts for next year. I mean, Kaprizov, his ADP is going to be inflated, right? Just based on the year he's had, and probably rightfully so. But he's a guy you want on your team for next year for sure. Jason Robertson, probably a little more risk, I would think, right? Like, I don't know that he's going to have exactly the same year just on the points you made, right? Like, Sagan, Radulov, all these players are going to come back next year and be healthy. And you got to think Robertson's ice time is going to diminish.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll put up statistically this how he did this year, but it'll be fun to see.
And Nedeljkovic is a guy that I'm probably looking at and going, dependent on what happens with Mrazek, but Nedeljkovic is a guy that I'm going to target next year in drafts.
Yeah, absolutely, right? He basically put Reimer on the bench, and Reimer only gets off the bench it's very selective that Reimer gets off the bench.
And I think Mrazek is a UFA this offseason, so, you know, depending on what happens with him, if he does sign with Carolina, or if Carolina goes, you know what, maybe we don't pay him a pile of money. We keep Nedeljkovic and bring Reimer back as a backup. I think they want to keep Mrazek, right? So at worst, it's going to be a timeshare, and you just have to handcuff either Mrazek or Nedeljkovic with the other guy.
Yeah, so Mrazek and Reimer are both UFAs, and Alex is an RFA, so he'll get a tidy little raise, and then my guess is they'll bring Mrazek back, and they'll let Reimer go. And then it's going to be a battle between Alex and Mrazek to see who can outdo each other. And that's good news for Carolina.
That's, oh, yeah. And they're such a good team.
Mrazek can stay healthy. They'll be in the run for top duo next year.
Well, they won the division this year, right?
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, they're gonna be a dangerous team for a long time. They got a lot of good players, defensemen, forward, goaltending. Like they're solid, right? I think they'll go deep in the playoffs this year too.
You bet. They sure will.
Which I guess segues into our last bit of the show here is playoffs. So we're just going to talk briefly about the NHL Bracket Challenge. We did create our own league, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks NHL Bracket Challenge. So check out the show page. The link is there. Join us. Come see if you can destroy Bruce or I in this bracket challenge. There's no prize money or anything. It's just for bragging rights. I did invite our buddy John, so we'll expect to see him in there. Bruce, I'm not sure if you signed up yet or not, but you better get on that.
Yeah, I haven't logged in yet. I have to do that.
But not a big rush. I don't think the playoffs start until Saturday, right? I think I just saw something about Boston, Washington starting on Saturday. So that should open up shortly. If you have a chance, check out the show page and sign up. And then I think, Bruce, we'll talk about this later, but maybe for next week we might go through our picks in the bracket challenge. That might be our next episode.
Good idea.
You know, you don't want to get too far into the playoffs before you do that thing, so.
Yeah, because I was reading they figure that the playoffs for the North won't start till the 19th.
Yeah, there'll be some time there, but I mean, I'm assuming you'll have to submit picks before the rest of these divisions start, right? So
I would assume so.
All righty. Well, with that, I guess we will sign off for this week, and stay tuned for next week's episode. Be sure to find us wherever you find your podcasts. Check out our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. And with that, we will see you all next week.
Good night, everybody.
Take care.